depending on exporting fungal microbiomes from plant stress resistance and improved yields in cultivated cotton.
Thank you. And I very much appreciate the organizers, Gus and Jeff, for letting me sneak this talk in at the last minute at the Beltwide. I originally was not going to present. I was going to ride on the coattails of my students who gave several good presentations. But a major project ongoing in the lab right now involves fungal endophytes, and it's led to the development of a commercial product. And my industry collaborator was very excited about some late-breaking yield results and really wanted me to try to get a talk to present to you at the Beltwide. So I appreciate you all taking a few more minutes of your time today to listen to my presentation. The list of collaborators is pretty long. It involves members of my lab over several years, as well as our current industry collaborators from Indigo. So fungal endophytes are microorganisms that live within healthy plant tissues, not showing any symptoms. There are both bacterial and fungal endophytes. We'll be speaking exclusively about fungal endophytes today. And there are, of course, very well-known, well-characterized mycorrhizal fungi that are important for plant health and nutrient transfer in the rhizosphere. But we're going to be talking specifically about foliar fungal endophytes today and their role as protective agents. It's known that endophytes can confer resistance to plants against a variety of stressors, both abiotic and biotic, and I'll give you several examples of that from our research. So this all really began in when I started at Texas A&M 2011. One of the first projects we did was to go out and sample healthy cotton grown under commercial cultivation conditions to find out what sort of endophytes were inside the plant. And we came out with quite a collection, 3,000 different isolates that could be classified into 69 different fungal taxa and in 44 different genera, and we sort of distilled this down to a library of 706 distinct fungal isolates, and that has, based on some of the data that I'm about to show you, that has subsequently been licensed through an agreement with Texas A&M and Indigo for development potential into commercial products, and I'll finish off on that. So being an entomologist the initial focus and my interest in some of these fungi is whether they could protect against biotic stressors, in particular insects, but we also started getting into nematodes. And so we published several papers so far showing that when you inoculate some of these fungal endophytes back to cotton, and I'll talk about our inoculation method in a minute, you can increase resistance to a wide range of herbivores. It's not a magic bullet. It doesn't kill the herbivores on the plant, but it does have negative effects on their performance and or reproduction. So we've shown reductions in aphid reproduction rate. We've shown reductions in caterpillar growth and adult fecundity. We've Cody's talk earlier this week talked about a potential role for endophytes mediating changes in plant volatile emissions that affect plant bug and stink bug post-plant selection behavior. And also importantly, we found a range of promising results conferring resistance to root knot nematodes. In some cases, this example of our most recent paper, we found shown that a single fungal endophyte can confer resistance to both herbivores, insects feeding above ground, as well as nematodes below ground. And these are some results that were presented earlier today at the Plant Disease Conference of our sort of more advanced screening, where we're starting to screen, rather than taking a look at single isolates, trying to come up with more high-throughput protocols to screen many of these isolates at once. And this is a result of our nematode screening assays. The taxa on the left, completely irrelevant. Those just represent individual isolates. But what I'd like to draw your attention to in this graph is the pattern. On the x-axis is the percent mean change in gall numbers relative to control. And so any bars that go to the left of the zero mean that there was a reduction in galling on those plants that had been treated with those taxa relative to the control. And any bars that go to the right indicate that there were actually more galls on treated plants relative to the control. Now, if these endophytes or these fungi were having no effect whatsoever, the null prediction is that 50% should be greater and 50% should be less. But what we see is an overwhelming majority of the fungi are having negative effects on nematode galling. And in fact, based on the statistics we used, 22 of those were significant reductions in galling. And what we did was we then took those winners and ran a repeatability assay, so an independent test of those winners, and found out that 21 out of 22 of those had repeatable negative effects on nematode galling across independent assays, which is pretty promising. So we've since moved on to assessing abiotic stress as well. And this is some of the results that was done in collaboration after we got the agreement going with Indigo, and this is a result of a seedling drought stress assay. The results are presented in somewhat of the same manner, although we've oriented the axes differently here. In this case, it's the isolates on the x-axis, and on the y-axis is a hazard ratio, a statistic used in survival analysis, and we're looking at the time to death of seedlings once water has been basically shut off. And the way you interpret a hazard ratio is if the value is less than one, then that means that the treated seeds or the treated seedlings survive longer than the untreated control seedlings. And if the value is greater than one, that means that the control seedlings survive longer than the treated seedlings. And again, we see this very dramatic pattern where it's not, the random would be we'd expect 50% better, 50% less. But we're again getting a signal from an overwhelming number of the isolates that we tested indicating that they're conferring water stress resistance to seedlings. And the asterisks do indicate statistical significance, and you'll notice there's some gaps in there, and that's almost certainly just due to a power issue, a statistical power for this particular test with low sample sizes used in these assays. And so it's probably not necessarily a surprise that we are seeing ecological effects in terms of drought resistance for many of the isolates that we collected, because just by chance of that year that we went out and sampled healthy cotton for fungi that were living inside those plants happened to be the worst drought in recorded history in Texas. So we may have fortuitously been sampling plants that were already engaged in interactions with microbes that were helping them to be healthy under those very stressful conditions. A lot of people ask how we do our inoculations. There are a lot of different methods that you can do, and we've tried several, but what we've settled on is basically a very simple seed treatment formulation. We've used both fungal spores and also whole biomass preparations, which includes mycelia as well as spores. And we've soaked seeds overnight in various formulations, but right now we're doing a dry prep with either spores or fungal biomass applied to seeds as with a sticker, typically a 1% methyl cellulose solution. My lab has been conducting field trials of fungal endophytes and their effects on cotton plant performance as well as insect deterrent since 2012. And I've presented several of these results over the course of the last few Beltwide meetings. And in fact, the first field trial that I conducted, we showed about on average a 20% boost in yield in endophyte-treated versus untreated plants, and people thought it was insane and crazy, and I had to sort of tone down the expectations coming from that, but it turns out that both the field trials that I've conducted as well as those that have been taken on across hemispheres by my industry collaborators, we have been observing consistent, what we would interpret as positive effects on both performance and yields, and that's some of the results that I'm going to share with you right now. These are aggregate yield results from field trials conducted both by my lab and also by Indigo around the world. We've got six different sites. We've altered between dry land and irrigated watering conditions as well, and also incorporated multiple major commercial varieties into these field trials. The results here you see are results of a Bayesian analysis, but the most important thing to take from this is the y-axis are different fungal endophytic isolates, and on the x-axis this is the yield differential compared to seeds planted in those same fields that were not treated with any fungal endophyte isolates. And what we see again is a very large number of these are having positive effects on yield. And the bars there represent, it's not a 95% confidence interval because these are Bayesian statistics, but that represents the bounds of the effect. And it gives you the idea of how sure you can be that those positive effects of yield are different from zero. And we see several of those bars don't touch zero at all. And the yield differentials are on the order, in some cases, of 100 pounds of lint per acre. So it was based on these sorts of data that Indigo went ahead and decided to do a commercial launch of a product of consisting of fungal endophytes that originally came from this collection that my lab made. And that first commercial rollout was this year. It consisted of a fungal endophyte treatment applied to seeds, and importantly, these seeds did receive the full commercial seed treatment package of both insecticides and fungicides, but they've worked out which fungicides are compatible with the different endophytes, because there's no really broad spectrum fungicides, so you can come up with a seed treatment package that's compatible with your biological agent. Fields, commercial fields were planted across the Cotton Belt, so we have representative fields from the Mid-South as well as in West Texas, and three different major commercial varieties were utilized again in these fields. They also planted in fields in both irrigated and dry land conditions, but what you'll notice is this was not set up, it was a commercial launch, it was not set up as a fully factorial design, so we don't have all varieties, all watering regimes replicated at all locations, and some of the sample sizes are pretty low. So with that, this is the results of the yield data aggregated by state. And so on the left, we have the fields in Arkansas where only irrigated watering conditions were used, and we had a moderate 2% increase in yield on treated versus untreated fields. In Mississippi, where again it was planted under only irrigated conditions, there was an 8% yield differential with the endophyte treated seeds yielding higher than the untreated. In Tennessee, no real difference, but in Texas, there turned out to be quite a substantial difference, on average about 11% yield differential under both irrigated and dry land conditions. And so at face value, this is often the type of pattern. I mean, we're happy that there are positive yields here, of course, but you do expect a level of location, sort of genotype by environment interactions when dealing with these microbial treatments. But something really interesting is occurring in this data if you look a little deeper. So that particular Tennessee site where there's a negligible difference, that's the result of 7 different fields that were picked, and then that cotton was all grouped and sent to the gin. So that's really only one data point showing a no difference between treated and untreated. But if you take a look at the yield monitor data coming off the harvesters in those fields, so I was told that there were visual differences and they were surprised to see the gin data coming out equivocal. This is the yield monitor data of seed cotton and from those 7 sites, and what you can see is there was quite a bit of actually very strong positive effects of the seed treatment. So this would be an individual grower having a field at one location of treated and another field of untreated cotton. And out of those 7 points, we see positive effects in yield out of 6, with a yield differential at some sites of almost 50%. So very, very strong positive effects on yield. So needless to say, there's reasonable excitement about that. But of course, there are other sites and locations where there was a slight yield drag. And so the future work is working on optimizing, you know, the variety, location, and strain effects that can go into optimizing, for lack of a better term, the predictability of what your yields might be under these certain conditions. So with that, I think we've one sort of big picture connotation of this is I think it provides a really nice example of how some basic research can lead to a commercial application in a pretty short order of time when you have a nice effective collaboration between your lab and an industry partner. I've shown you lots of evidence to indicate that fungal endophytes in cotton can confer biotic and abiotic stress tolerance. We have, either through my lab or through the industry collaborator, consistently observed positive effects on plant performance and yields in multiple locations and environments. The example that I showed you today for the 2016 data is the first commercial endophyte product for cotton focused on abiotic stress. Future work will probably begin to expand into other isolates that may have more biotic stressors, and that's an opportunity as hopefully you guys start to see these products ending up in fields in different growing regions where we can potentially take a look at what some of the more expected biotic factors are as these things go into larger commercial production. And of course, there's continuing optimization to better understand and exploit understanding of endophyte variety and location interactions. And with that, lots of people have helped out on this project over the year. This was kind of a summary of several years' work from the lab, but I do very much appreciate the opportunity to present this to you and for you folks sticking around at the tail end of the conference. So thank you very much. And if there's any questions, I'm happy to give it a shot at answering them.
Any questions?
All right. And have a safe trip home. Thank you very much.